Okay, we better open up some scriptures. Open up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The title of the talk is Seek Him First. And there's a parable here. It's a very important parable, as they all are. But this one here is pretty important nowadays. So on Wednesday, we had a bit of a favourite scripture night, and so I'll bring out a couple of those scriptures as well. They were very encouraging for those that, when they were through trials, are having a hard time. But we'll read a few verses here in Matthew chapter 6 about seek him first, and just think about the aspects of this parable. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we clothe? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So a great parable. Jesus here is encouraging us just to rely on God. You know, you have a choice of two masters. One is God and the other one's mammon. And it's pretty confronting. You'll hate the one and love the other, whatever. You'll love the one and hate the other, hold to the one and despise the other. And we all want to love God and hold to God. We don't want to hate God and despise God. So we want to serve God. He is our all in all. We heard great testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives. And then it goes through this list of things where just encourage us to rely on him. Even the simple things like clothes and food. Don't worry about it. You know, it says there for the Gentiles or those that don't follow me, they worry about that stuff. But God wants to worry about it for us. And it says there, but seek ye first. Number one, seek ye first, not second, first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So as you pray to God, you seek the kingdom of God, you pray to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what's that mean? You walk in his ways and you do the work of the Lord. So you pray to the Lord, you walk in his ways and you do the things of the Lord, and all these things will be added unto you. He has written this in the scriptures, so he is obligated to do that. And over the many years in the Revival Fellowship, people have given testimony of them seeking first the kingdom of God. And he does provide these things. These are awesome promises for us to remember. And I've actually read this parable out quite a few times since Pastor Tim left. And because it's so important nowadays, here in modern Australia, where we've got things. And we can get distracted and can kind of forget to seek God first, not second, first. And then he will add all these things unto us. He's promised elsewhere that we will never beg bread. You know, we can just rely on him. And all these things will be added unto us. And sometimes, as we heard, you know, there's things that happen in our life. There's trials, stuff comes up. And I was thinking yesterday morning, that sometimes life can be tough and it can feel like you're kind of dragged through. like mud by your feet, you know? It's what life can feel like sometimes. But what it says here just encourages us to seek him first. Get on your knees, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Do the things of the Lord. Go to the meetings, do the work of the Lord, and he will add these things unto us. Because they are second. They are secondary. They are mammon. He knows that we have a need for these things here on earth. He knows that. He's our Father. He's our loving Father. And so he is obligated to do that for us. Jeremiah chapter 33. As the saints in Bunbury know, I prefer to have a few scriptures. I prefer to listen to what the Bible says than me prattling on too much. So I've got a few scriptures to go through. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. So he was in prison, he was stuck in prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We know that verse 3 quite well. It's quoted a lot, and for a good reason. It's a great scripture. Call unto me. So that's to seek me first. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. You know, it's sometimes, often, not the answer you want, you know. We sometimes think we know better than God. I've certainly fallen into that trap. No, Lord, I know what's good for me. But it turns out God actually knows better. From experience, I've found that out. He can give you a clip under the ear, a crowbar across the back of the head, or whatever it is. He teaches you pretty well that he knows better than what we do. We are merely flesh and blood. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He knows us. He knows us from when we were formed in the womb. Before time started, he knew us. He lives in all time. He knows the end from the beginning. And so call unto me and I'll answer thee. And he'll show us great and mighty things. How many people here have gone through a blizzard of a testimony? And that during the testimony, you can't see the end. You just have to rely on the Lord. And then when that blizzard ends, you look back and am amazed. You shed a tear, actually, of amazement of what the Lord has done. But in that blizzard, you just can't see. You can't see anything. You just, all you know from the scriptures are to rely on him and call unto him first. But then at the end, you realise these great and mighty things that he's done for you. And he is a God of his word. He will not let us down. Numbers chapter 23. This is one of the scriptures that was brought out on Wednesday. Numbers chapter 23. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Or change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Okay, the Lord's will be done. Like, whether we like it or not, his will be done. He has said, and he will do it. It will be accomplished. Great scripture in Esther, you know, where Mordecai says to Esther, look, if you don't do it, God will just find someone else. You know, like his will be done, regardless, like I said, whether we like it or not. And so if he said that it will happen, it will happen. So with confidence, we can seek him first, knowing that these promises are yea and amen. Over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Great encouragement here. Now the verses, they talk about his commandments. You know, his ways, and you can read that and think, yep, okay, we've got the salvation message, follow the salvation message, that's his commandment. But read it as if it's his word, you know, and his word has promises in it. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So the Lord has given it to us close. It's not dis- I mean, even the Bible itself, you know, we've got access to a Bible so easily. But it says there, the word is nigh unto us in our mouth. We can speak the word, we can speak the promises, we can encourage other people about the promises that are written in the scriptures. And it's also in our heart, as he promised later on as well. He'll teach us that way, through our heart, through the spirit, that we just know it. Not long after I came to the Lord, there's just a very short verse in Ephesians that just says, grieve not the spirit. You know, and that gives a hint that, you know, you can get an idea of what's good and what's not good by how the spirit makes you kind of feel. You know, it kind of feels wrong or feels right. You know, grieve not the spirit. And so that's the way he teaches through the heart. Seems a bit nebulous. But over time, as you grow slowly and you talk to other people, get encouraged in the things of the word, things of the scriptures, you start to get a greater clarity and understand, because God has given us the word close to us. It's not distant. We don't have to go gallivanting all over the countryside. It's just right here. It's right close. A great promise. Back to chapter 29 and verse 29. It's an interesting little verse here. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Okay? So things that are secret, that are unknown, they are actually belong to God. So it's up to him what he does with these secret things, because he owns them. But those things which are revealed, so those things that he chooses to reveal, okay, that he's decided, no, I don't want to keep it a secret anymore, I want to reveal it, belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law or his commandments. So they now, when he's revealed things, he's gone to the effort to show us what his will is, what his promises are, what his desire is, his great plan. He's revealed that to us and to our children forever. That then, they then belong to us. They belong to us. So it's up to us now what we do with it, okay? When it was hidden and it was secret, it was up to God what he did with it. But now they've been revealed. It's so clear to us. So it's up to us now what we do. So let's seek the Lord first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us because it's been revealed to us. And so let's act appropriately and grab hold of these wonderful promises that are in the scriptures. And you can plow through the pages and find little gems in the scriptures, which is completely encouraged in the Revival Fellowship. It was great to try to understand these things and talk to others about it. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Well-known scriptures, but it certainly helps to repeat them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, what a trap that is for us people that have an understanding of things. You know, you draw into your own understandings. But the Lord's saying here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Get up in the morning, get on your knees, pray in all your ways. Start out that way. Acknowledge him as part of everything you do, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. You know, fear the Lord. Have a fear, like where your knees knock. You're so afraid. You want to get to heaven. So afraid of not getting to heaven. So you then do things right. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So there's a promise there. Okay? You trust in the Lord in all your ways. You fear the Lord. You depart from evil. And there's the promise. It'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You'll be healthy. You know, you'll be strong. He'll provide for you. He will give you a joy that passes understanding. Even when you're in the midst of a blizzard, he will give you that joy and that comfort and that understanding that he has things in hand. A great promise there. Over to chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So it says here, when you handle a matter, when you decide to seek the Lord first, and then how you act after that, relying on the Lord, when you handle that matter, because matters come up. Life is full of matters that roll on and roll on. But you handle that matter wisely. And that wisdom is a wisdom that comes from God. not from men and from your own understanding. You have that wisdom that comes from God. And there's this promise, you shall find good. Okay? It's so powerful. Such a powerful scripture there. If you handle a matter wisely, looking to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, you shall find good. Great promise. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You know, who trusts in the Lord, who knows and understands through time. It takes time to understand. And I firmly believe trials are an important part of that, to learn how to trust the Lord, to learn how to rely on him, because then you've got experience to draw upon. Happy is he. They're comfortable. They're content, which lines up with another scripture that I'll be coming up with. And they know the Lord is always there. And I can look back on my own life that I have certainly handled matters foolishly. You know, and it just doesn't work out right. We have those experiences when you can draw, oh, that's right. Ah, I relied on my own understanding there and it went all cactus. So this time I want to handle it wisely and look to the Lord because I want to find good. That's a good thing. Finding good is good, isn't it? And then we trust in him and we're happy. Romans chapter 28. Oh, sorry, Romans 8, verse 28. You know, when I was preparing this, or throwing the scriptures together, a bit silly, I wanted to read this verse out, but I couldn't remember where it was. And I couldn't find it because the key words weren't in the concordance, and it was so annoying. And then when I found out it was in Romans 8, I thought, you drongo, of course it's in Romans 8. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Okay? So yeah, things come up, we handle things badly, foolishly, but we have this other greater understanding, this other great promise that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Okay? So things happen, like I said, and God has a great way of twisting it around to his advantage, which is amazing. I don't want to bore you too much, but just to draw upon a little experience I had where I certainly handled the matter foolishly. My work, you know, I build roads, stuff with black stuff on it. But there are layers underneath that need to be inspected. And those layers are prepared by a grader operator. And that grader operator runs the team, you know, with the water cart and the roller and all this sort of stuff. He runs it because he produces this product. He also controls how the material's coming from the quarry because he needs the right material to mix it, to get a consistent mix, so that then you get a good product, a road that's going to last. He prepares even the base before you even bring the material in. So there's a lot of stress on the grader operator. Now, from what I've seen, the best grader operators have been doing it for 30 years, and they are so rare. They're near retirement, they've done a lot of work, they've had a lot of experience, and then there's this young fella who comes along and decides to do some inspections on his road. And it turns out I've discovered, by accident, after doing all these inspections, I'm one of the few that does it. Most people just trust the grader operator. But anyway, so what do is you pull a string across and you take these measurements to make sure everything's right, so that you get the thickness in there and it's going to be a good road. Because it takes me time as well to get to know the grader operator, to understand that he knows what he's doing. And so it's a way of me kind of getting to know that person. And grader operators don't talk much, they grunt. And so it takes a while to get to know them. But it turns out that's an aspect of the job. You need that sort of character because it's a lot of stress. But anyway, the problem that I've had is I've changed jobs that many times. So the problem with changing your jobs, you've got to re-establish yourself. You know, you've got to get to know, people have got to get to know you. And so you've got to start again. So I'd only just started this job and I was told about this grader operator and apparently he was really good. Brilliant operator, been doing it for over 30 years. Everybody trusted him, but I didn't know him. So I was doing these, went and did this first layer of inspections. He was a bit gruff, but I thought, oh, I'm used to that. Came back to do the next layer, and he was worse. And then at the end of it, he got really angry at me. And I was a bit shocked, actually, but it's an experience that I've rarely had. I reacted and I got angry back at him. And but the thing is, it was like an out-of-body experience. It's like I was sitting back watching me have the argument. It's like my mouth was going off and I just so angry at him. He was angry. And anyway, we had this dialogue and, oh, my goodness, I felt so bad. I spoke to Pastor Tim at the next meeting. I thought, oh, no, I've just done it. I've just messed it all up, you know. I've thrown my testimony out the window and it's just all ruined, you know. And I was so disappointed with the way I'd acted. And but he was fine, you know, just encouraging as he is. And so when I had to do the next layer, I was so stressed. I hardly slept for days beforehand. Like, oh, no, I've got to approach this person. You know, it's really nerve-wracking, me being half his age. But anyway, we're walking from the grader to do the next layer. And I'm like, oh, no, what's he going to say? He apologised to me. I was stunned. He actually outright apologised. He said, look, I'm really sorry with how I acted last week. You know, so somehow this out-of-body experience, he realised I knew what I was talking about. I don't know. But as a result of that, I'd rock up on site and he'd stop the grader straight away. He'd jump out and say, oh, look, I'm doing this now. What do you think about that? And, you know, oh, I've got this going. Like, he'd actually bounce things off me, you know, and say, oh, that side entry pit's a bit high. Do you mind if I drop that? You know, like he, and one time I rocked up and I was looking at this pile of gravel. I thought, oh, it looks okay. But anyway, while I'm looking at it, he quickly stops the grader and runs up to me and goes, it's all right, it's okay, Philip, I'm sending it back. There's too much clay. Just incredible. Like, it just, the Lord just turned it around completely. And it was actually a joy to go there. And we used to talk about the old ways. Like, well, of course, he'd talk about the old ways and how things used to be done. And the Lord just changed it completely. Because we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that trust God. Oh no, when you think it's a mess, but you trust the Lord, seek him first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's just a glorious thing, and I'm sure a lot of people here can think of the same thing in their own walk, how the Lord's just turned it around to his advantage. Over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6. So 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Okay, this was brought out on Wednesday, and it was brought out really well. You know, there were two things there. Godliness with contentment. We can have the godliness, but no contentment. There's people that don't have godliness, and they've just got contentment, but there's this hole, this God-shaped hole. So we've had that God-shaped hole filled. So for us to get this great gain, we need that contentment. You know, great gain. With godliness, with contentment is great gain. Understanding that he's got our back. And then it just goes on. Look, we brought nothing into the world. We're not going to take anything out, you know. So just be happy with food and raiment. I mean, that's an elevated position. There's no doubt about it. And we are human beings. But to be content with that is what the Lord is encouraging us. He's encouraging us just to trust him, to rely on him. And that's what he always wanted. He's always wanted a people to trust him. Because then you've got the contentment, which is just a great gain. Those two things. Godliness and contentment is great gain. Related scriptures, Philippians chapter 4. Also read out on Wednesday, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So verse 8 just goes through these things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, lovely, good report, any virtue. You know, they're nice things. And it's saying there, think on these things. And then it goes on, like Paul as an example, he's putting himself up as an example and saying, look, you've learnt things. You've learned things over time. You've received great things over time. You've heard great things. You've seen in me, him doing great things. Then you do as well. You know, you think on these lovely things in verse 8. You do these things that are in verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. You know, people want peace. They want to live in peace. And the God of peace shall be with you. Another great promise. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt. Now, I like that. Paul himself has learnt. And when you learn, it takes time. There's a process to learn. So Paul has learnt that in no matter what state I am, there with... Sorry, I better read that again. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No matter what's going on. And then he goes on to verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we're just talking last night, you know, how so it's pretty rough going when someone comes up and says, oh, you're doing that wrong. You know, you should be doing it like this. It's rough going. And so that's the abased bit. But Paul has learned somehow that even in that time, when he's abased, to be content, to understand that God has got it all in hand. You know, all he has to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto him. Isaiah chapter 40, just to use the word, the penultimate scripture. Yes, thank you, Andrew. Very good. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. It's a great reason why that is a chorus that we sing, because it's a great promise. They that wait on the Lord. And it's annoying waiting. There's no doubt about it. I don't like waiting. I want it now. But the Lord tells us to wait. And here's the reason why we should wait. We renew our strength. We quieten down, you know, and just rely on the Lord. The Lord's got it all in hand. Renews our strength. We have this power, this understanding where we're elevated position, flying like an eagle. We've got an endurance that doesn't seem to make any sense because you just wait. You know the Lord's got it in hand, so wait. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. We heard about hope in testimony. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Okay? There you go. It's a good thing to sit back and wait. Wait for the salvation of the Lord, seeking him first, relying him first, doing his work first, and the Lord will add it all unto you. It's a good thing when you wait. You do it patiently, and in that, you have this form of contentment because the Lord's got it in hand. You don't have to carry that burden. In fact, he commands us to dump that burden on his own shoulders. He wants to carry it for us or help us carry it. In the flesh, we're weak. We understand that. We understand the weakness of this this vile body. But the Lord, so we can forget these things. And so he's put these things to remind us to rely on him, to seek him first, and all these great things will be added unto us. Thank you.